All right, everybody, welcome, welcome. It is time for another Toolbox Tuesday.
Yeah, this is one that anytime you develop a system, new system, you're going to get some objections. You're going to get some people that are kicking and screaming a little bit. Most of those objections are not valid. Some of them are, but they all have them. So.
That's right. And it's ongoing, not just when you have a new system. You have to continue to beat that drum for the systems that you have already incorporated. If you have not been with us before for Toolbox Tuesday, the theme of the huddles in our practices on Tuesday is Toolbox Tuesday. And that means that we are going to pull one of our tools out of our toolkit of the hundreds of resources that we have available and focus on that one topic with all of our team members to remind them of the resources that they have available, but to also make sure that we are calibrated and all on the same page with how we're executing that resource.
Yeah.
So this week we are going to be continuing in our first 400 series. So we've done a couple of Toolbox Tuesdays on this topic. We also have a free course that's out there for the first week of our Level Up program course on this topic. You can go back and rewatch or listen to those episodes as well. But to just give you an overview, our first 400 program takes our team members through their first 400 hours with us. It usually ends up being about 8 weeks. And that has allowed us to accelerate our onboarding program from 6 months to 60 days. And that includes team members who come to us with dental experience or team members who come to us without dental experience.
Yeah, and this was something that was just like almost every system we have or any system any business has. This was born out of necessity. And we got to the point where we just could not afford to have someone that took 6 months to a year to be a truly kick butt member of our team. We needed to turn that around really quickly. And this also happened where for a long time, and to some degree it's still going on a little bit, but for a long time, if you wanted someone with dental experience, you were paying a lot of money for those people, and they knew it. And what happened was, is when we hired a lot of people with a lot of dental experience that were very savvy in what they did, they came with a lot of bad habits, and they almost out time and time again, almost outright refused to learn new systems, to learn our systems. It was kind of, I've done this for 20 years, I know what I'm doing, get out of my way. That's fine if you're using our system. But you still are a member of a team, and we got a system and it works. And you need to learn, take your skills, and then learn the way we do it and make it that much better. But what we found was a lot of these people with dental experience did not want to do that. They did not want to do that. Yeah. And so we ended up having to hire people without dental experience. And so we needed to really accelerate their knowledge and their training.
Well, and we have all of our team members that are helping with onboarding also.
Right.
So yes, we have our leadership team and our practices are called our point people. We do not have office managers, but we have point people who are helping oversee and passing the baton between each other day to day on what the goals are. But we also found when we had too many people that were involved in the process, if we didn't have a schedule and a system, they were assuming that, well, I thought you went over that with her on Tuesday. Well, I thought you were doing it on Thursday. And all of a sudden we were missing and we had all these gaps in our training just
Right.
because, like everything else we do, we have a cheat sheet for it. There's a checklist for it. So why would our onboarding be any different? So it breaks up what the goals are for every single week. And there are some people who will advance sooner than what the goals are for week two. They might be able to advance to week four. That's fantastic, but we're going to walk before we run. So today we're going to focus on objections because those are the questions that we get from when we're talking with other doctors about this or other teams about how to implement this. Well, don't you have objections that you get from team members? Yep, sure do. Sure do.
Every day.
This also ties every day, always there's something. This ties into the excuses versus explanation webinar that we also did on, are we making excuses as to why something isn't working or is there a true explanation for it? Most of these are excuses, but again, just like with patients, you have to expect them and then know how to respond to them. So first and foremost, when we are talking about our online training platform, I get this all the time. I'm a hands-on learner. That's fantastic. I'm so happy that you're a hands-on learner. Dental assisting specifically is a very hands-on position. That being said, that's only one component of our training. We've seen it where we've had people come in, I'm a hands-on learner, I just need to do it, and they have no earthly idea what the names of instruments are, what the steps of the process is, what a setup should look like. They're not going to gather it by just getting in there and having some composite instrument thrown in their hand and magically through osmosis know what that's called. So the way that I always present our training platform is it's a combination, right? We're not relying on any one system for anything. We have time where they're shadowing with our existing team members. We have times where they're able to demonstrate themselves and they're having someone back up and shadow them. Then we have our online training platform that has audio, it has video, it has written cheat sheets. We are covering every type of learning style that exists in the world. Whatever works best for you, it is there.
Yeah, but that's not to say that hands-on is not important, because it's absolutely important. And just going through an online platform, which is hundreds and hundreds of hours, there's no way they can get through all of it in one time and have it all absorb. We have, you know, with the kind of the rent a friend or the, you know, different people that are kind of in charge of different parts of their training, and everyone's communicating. But what we found a little bit was, if they're just going through the videos and they're just going through the cheat sheets and they're just going through the protocols and they have not sat chair side, or they have not got in front of the patient, if it's a front office, and spoken about financial policies or spoken about scheduling, they're not going to have a lot of context for that training and for that learning. And so what we really found is that it needs to happen in concert. It needs to be, we expect our dental assistants to be chair side, Jennifer, correct me if I'm wrong, within the first week or so, right? And I mean, and that's someone that's really never been chair side ever. That's not to say that they're on their own and they're just getting kicked out of the nest. And if you fly, you're great. If not, you die. That's not what we're after. They have someone behind them. So there's two assistants in the op, making sure that that doctor and that the patient does not know that that person's being trained. And that's something we talk about all the time. But what that does is it gives them kind of a trial by fire, where it's just, I've heard about these things in the videos. I've seen them on the cheat sheets. Now that gives me a little bit of context to learn more. And it kind of accelerates the learning a lot.
Well, and it puts it in perspective that you will have to do this on your own, right? Yeah. Because we've also found that training, and again, in air quotes here, that can go on forever. I mean, we're always learning something. BTY, better than yesterday, is one of our core values. So we're constantly updating things. You know, I just released this morning a video that one of our point people shot for me about how to take a CT and how to position a patient for a CT. I shot videos about this. I have a cheat sheet about this. They wanted some more tips and tricks on there. Fantastic. Send me the video. We'll get it up on the platform. We're updating those things every other day. So it's not that you finish those first 8 weeks and then you're done and forget it. But we were also having the opposite problem where someone was constantly, well, I'm still training, I'm still learning. They're standing in the corner watching a procedure like they're watching something on Netflix and not putting it into practice. And that's going to be me in a couple of weeks. So good is not a term. I'm good, I've got it. You don't have it unless you can do it independently. So say it back to me. Did you understand what just happened in that procedure? Because next Tuesday, you're in the hot seat.
Right. Yeah. And so that's a big part, because there is a very short period where they're doing things with another seasoned assistant or seasoned front office, but they know the exact date that they need to do this autonomously. They need to know this exact date where they need to be a member of the team that is assisting, having their own column with a doctor. And they need to make sure that, like we said, that doctor does not notice that they're a brand new assistant. Everyone's going to have the little nuances. We're not asking people to be robots, but we're asking you to follow the system, and so that the doctor knows what to expect, you know what to expect out of the doctor, and so on.
Number two is one that I just have to giggle a little bit, but it's true. It happens.
This is probably the most common one we see too. And you see this in your interviews too with people, I think, a lot, right?
Oh man, fun times. I'm not good on computers, they say to me, as they are waving their smartphone in their hand, right? I'm not good on computers. Friends, it's 2024. Yeah. At this point, the people that we're interviewing, they were born with an iPhone in their hand or an iPad or something. This is not 1982, okay? I understand people have different strengths, people have different weaknesses, but we're paperless offices. And I'm very upfront with people right off the bat. Yes, you're going to have to learn a computer system. I'm not sure what business at this point in time is not going to have a computer system that you have to learn. That's an excuse. That's not an explanation. You know, things are so user-friendly at this point with, you can Google search literally anything with AI. It will walk you through the entire process. You have to be able to function on a computer. Otherwise, it's not just the training component of things. You're not going to be able to help from a treatment planning, scheduling, x-ray standpoint. You have to be able to use computers. That's a hard line for us.
It's a hard line. And it's to the point where you don't have to be a hacker But you need to be proficient. And it's not just, hey, I know how to, do a search or things like that, but you need to know how to type. You need to know how to get in there, and you need to know our computer system. You need to know our practice management software. You need to know some of our third-party vendors, and you need to know them quickly, and you can't be bumping around and delaying the flow of the practice too. And so it's not even just, being okay with computers, but you need to kind of know what you're doing a little bit and be fast at it, right? Because anything that's not fast as the rest of the team, that means they're going to be towing your weight, and that's not okay.
And I mean, this also comes from just consistency and making sure we're not missing things along the way. It stems very, very favorite office supply. Again, since the sarcasm is a post-it note, because post-it notes wander around and you have that oh so important information that you need to make sure you don't lose track of, you put it on a post-it note. Why would you do such a thing? Like, that's not going to stay where you need it to go, or it's written in shorthand that only that one front office understands. And then she calls out sick for a week and a half because of COVID. And now we don't know what patients from the cryptic handwriting we were supposed to call back from that magical post-it note that's hanging out. Not a recipe for success for anybody. So you have to be good on computers, period. The third one ties into in our training platform, in our modules, we have test outs. We've talked about that before in our first 400 Toolbox Tuesday. The test outs are not meant to be SAT prep test strategies that you have to study for months in advance. The test outs are meant to be to reinforce whatever that module, that lesson, that topic, that week. For our first 400, we have a test out that encompasses the entire week of what the goals are and what the topics were. Those are meant to be, you fly through those and there's no problem. What those really are meant to be is if you are not understanding a question, I'm not writing them to be tricky and well, it could be A, B, C, E, but it might also be C, D. That's not it, right? They are supposed to be clear as crystal so that it is a red flag to you if you are not answering those questions correctly that you need to go back and re-review that module. So the I am not a good test taker excuse is not it, right? They're not timed out. Again, we're not monsters here. And we have had this recently in our practices where people are cheating on the test outs with each other. Okay, they all get together. Let's all do the test together. Kumbaya. My response back to you is, what service are you doing to yourselves? What kind of disservice are you doing to yourself by trying to break the system because you don't really understand how to set up for a composite?
Right. And more importantly, or just as importantly, your team too, right? Because if
Right.
you don't understand that, like I said, they're going to be towing your weight. And the whole idea behind this first 400 is that we are going to have a contributing member of the team in 60 days, right? Meaning they're going to push the flow. They're going to push the schedule. They're going to be an asset to that team and not something that the rest of the team has to tow behind and actually work harder because they're not doing their job. Right. We expect them that they fill a role in our office. We don't have extra people standing around. Anyone who is in our office, they are doing something, they're doing something productive, and they're doing something that helps the team and that helps our patients.
And then last but not least on this list, the objection list will continue. This is going to be a whole other section just for that. But this is one that both for new team members and existing team members is something that comes up quite frequently. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time to go through the modules. Now, from an ongoing content standpoint, unless we're really rolling out something completely new, we're not making more than 15 minutes of content update in those a week, right? One of our core values is better than yesterday. So my response back to that is you cannot find 15 minutes in your week to complete this module to be better than yesterday. That's what you're telling me by saying that you don't have enough time. Now, we have worked very hard to make sure that our schedules allow for some flexibility, right? We've all heard about the practices. We have doctors in our practices who have seen this firsthand in other practices that they've worked for, where they're running triple, sometimes quadruple, solid column schedules with one or two assistants with no break. They're going through lunch, they're in overtime every single day. They are gunning and going it. They're not exaggerating when they're saying they're seeing 50 patients in a day. And though their assistants are expected to keep up with that, our schedule is not that way. Okay. We have flex time in the beginning, the middle, and the end of our day to allow for some of those outlier situations, to allow for those emergencies. And we are not building that extra time in the schedule for everybody to just sit around and visit and have kumbaya time. Now, that's not to say that it's not, hey, how are you doing? How was the weekend? You know, we all know what's going on in each other's lives, but we're not doing that at the expense of these other things that are really going to help drive us forward. So right. To give an example of what an initial schedule will look like with someone who is onboarding with us, and also keep in mind, our first 400 modules are just a piece of what we have in our learning platform. We're not expecting them to go through all 400 lessons that we have within those 8 weeks. We're expecting them to focus just on the first 400. So 7 o'clock in the morning, they arrive in the office. Our huddle start at 7:05. 5 minutes to put your things down, get your jackets on, be ready to go for the day. We are not arriving in the office to sit down then and get ready and have the hair salon in the back office, which we have also had situations for, or I'll be right back. I have to go get breakfast. You need to have breakfast in the car on the way over here. We are off to the races. You're not leaving as soon as you walk out the door to go get a breakfast burrito. 7:05 is huddle. Huddles are 10 minutes or less. We make them very efficient. They're to the point, one point that we're covering. From there, a new team member is shadowing with back office, front office, whichever department they're working in, seeing how we set up the flow of the day, seating the first couple of patients, getting everything ready to go for the day. They're doing that for the first couple of hours. Then they're going to go on to the online training platform for a couple of hours so that they can reinforce what they've seen with the cheat sheets and the videos. They're breaking for lunch, and then they're back for the last couple hours of the day with other team members, again, shadowing how the flow is going, reinforcing what they saw on the modules. Then we're cleaning everything up. We have that half an hour of flex time from when we end with patients to when the end of our workday is. For us on a Tuesday, for example, that'll be between 3:30 and 4. And then we're passing the baton the last couple minutes of the day. Hey, this is what we covered today. These are what the goals are for tomorrow. Ready, set, break. And then we're off to the races. There is more than ample time in the day to do that. We're not expecting someone to sit in front of a computer for 8 hours straight, nor are we expecting them to just be chair-side in an op for 8 hours straight without having any context.
Right. And I think, yeah, giving them a structure, because I think when the schedule is open, we had a patient cancel, the doctor wasn't that full. Those seem to be the most inefficient days. From a team standpoint, from a trainee standpoint, from a doctor standpoint, things like that. And it's a little bit of the mindset of, if you want something done, give it to the busiest person you know. Now, we're not slamming everyone, like Jennifer said, with 3 and 4 columns solid, but we do have 2, and they're solid. And when those are full, people become very, very efficient, including the trainees, right? Now, we don't ask that trainee to be that one critical assistant on day one. They're kind of an extra because they're watching, they're jumping in, they're helping out where they can, doing some of the training, things like that. But they need to realize that time management is a skill, and it's a skill that we're going to teach them how to do if they don't already have it built in. But when we put something on the calendar, we expect it to be done at that time, or else you're going to fall behind.
Well, and we're looking for team members that have the mindset of being participatory in this process, because if they have a victim mentality that it's always everybody else's fault, they didn't train me enough, they didn't give me enough time, they didn't give me XYZ, they're not going to work for us long-term. You know, I talk about communication constantly. We are not mind readers. If something isn't making sense to you, we need to know at what step in the process you're being held up. We need to know what resources you've tried. Have you talked to a team member? Have you gone back through that cheat sheet? Have you re-watched the video to just tell me that you don't know and no one has helped you with it? That's not reality. We don't have any team members that are turning away other team members who are truly asking for help on understanding the concept. You have to participate in that process. I tell people in the interview process, we live in a world where you truly can do anything you want to do and be anything you want to be. That doesn't mean that you wake up and you're a unicorn one day. And you can't say you want to start a brand new career and expect it to happen through osmosis.
Right. Right.
So takeaways from this section of objections are, you're going to have people that come to you and say that the learning systems you're providing them, the assets that you're providing them, don't speak to their type of preferred learning method. We have everything covered. So, hey, have you tried this? Have you tried that? Reminding them that we've covered all of those things. People have to be able to work with technology. I don't care who you are and what industry you are, in some way, shape, or form, we are not in an analog society anymore. They've got to be able to work with the technology that you have. Even those that are coming from another office, you might be on a different practice management software. They've got to get on board. People that say they're not good test takers, I said we have test outs to make sure that they're understanding the concepts to help them, not to fail them by any stretch of the imagination. It's all about communication and making sure we aren't missing anything. You know, we always say if something doesn't work out with a new team member, it's not going to be our fault. And that's not to say that we are trying to shuck off responsibility. That's to say that we are holding ourselves accountable to do everything in our power to make this work and to give it the best chance possible. Your new team members are going to panic a couple weeks into it. They all do. I have it down just about to the day where they're going to panic and that your existing team members will hate them. It's usually about day 18 that they panic and about day 21 that your existing team members are going to hate them. I tell them this and we will get through it. We will get through it. And time, 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 time. People are always going to complain that they don't have enough time. You make time for the things that are important.
And they need to learn that it's a skill too. And they need to learn that if everyone else is doing the same thing, they're going to learn that that's the culture of the office and they're going to fall or they're not going to be around much longer.
To be continued, we have a list of more objections on this topic. So we're going to do an entire separate webinar on that. But in the meantime, if you want to learn more about our first 400 program, how we can help you implement something like this into your practices, please feel free to reach out to us. Our email is connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com. Our website is pathwaydentalsolutions.com. And we are also on all of the social media platforms. So whatever is most convenient for you, we would love to hear from you.
All right, you guys, take care. Bye.
Be back next week. Bye.
Bye.